The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
AboveTopSecret.com and the Deny Ignorance broadcast affiliates are proud to bring you The Zed Show. This is the podcast which is not hosted from the center of the universe.
Recommended for mature individuals.
You can't handle the truth!
And now, here he is, everyone's favorite super modulator and super moderator, the first wizard of Above Top Secret, Zed.
Hey everybody, how you doing? Time to grab that foil and head for the bunker, because it's about to get weird around here. And by weird, I mean some crappy audio, but that's all right. It was a conversation I had last night over Skype with another super moderator from AboveTopSecret.com, and that is Magic. And, you know, the conversation was just too good. We actually did an entire Zed show, and the problem was I was trying to mess with too many things. I don't know what it was. And I didn't get to use my good computer. I had to use another computer to grab the Skype call. And oh, well, you don't even want to hear it. So the outcome is pretty good show, pretty enjoyable. At least I think you can still enjoy it. The audio is not too bad. I thought I'd put it out there anyway. I know Magic didn't mind at all. So without any further ado and some upfront apologies from us, here you are. Peace.
Another super modulator in his own right, Magic.
Hey, this is Magic. That's M-A-J-I-C. Coming. Oh, wait. Zed already did that.
Yeah, that's all right.
So first, I guess we got to get into the first thing, which is drinks, right?
Don't we? Absolutely.
Don't we have to talk about drinking? And I'm drinking
responsibly.
I'm drinking responsibly.
Absolutely.
I have an expensive porterhouse ale. No, I don't. I'm drinking a Coke. I'm nerdy tonight, I think.
Well, I got you beat there. I'm drinking water.
So I thought you were
clean water, though.
Oh man. I thought you were drinking something else. I don't know.
No, just water.
You fooled me earlier. You fooled me. So tonight we're going to talk about a few different things. I think the first thing we're going to talk about just our personal thoughts on moderation on Above Top Secret.
And indeed, my philosophy on that is moderation in all things, including moderation.
That's, you know, I read that. Where you had that on your Skype.
Yeah, it's on my Skype profile.
I thought that was good. I don't really have any personal thoughts on the job recently. I don't know. I've been.
That's because you're slacking off, dude.
I think so. I haven't hardly been around too much. I've been participating in some chats here and there, but.
Yeah, but when was the last time you banned somebody? Come on, man.
Oh, it's been a long time. It's been a long time. You know what? I'm not sure. I think I left my hammer in my other jacket.
See, there you go. You're not even coming prepared. I mean, you might need to ban someone during the show. You know?
Ooh. Can we do that? That would be good. That would be just like a you know who we got to ban is that darn Johnny Anonymous. I heard.
Oh, yeah.
I heard Skeptic and Springer talking about that and I think Simon was on there, too, and they were talking about they need to ban that guy. And I listened to his Mondo Bizarro episode number 3 and 4 today. I carried 3 for a while, and it's just awesome. I mean, the guy's just amazing.
And I haven't heard him yet because I'm so behind on my podcast.
Oh, well, it's definitely top-notch. It's too good, and he's got to go.
Yeah, there you go. He's a threat to the rest of us. So.
You know, oh, absolutely. Absolutely he's a threat. So so what are your thoughts? What's going on with the community, AboveTopSecret.com?
Well, I think, you know, obviously there's a lot going on, which is not unusual. And, of course, we're coming into this election season, and, you know, we just got through back to school and the whole summer break thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And, of course, there's the usual drama. Actually, I think we've had a fairly interesting drama spike lately. But, you know, overall... you know, looking back, I've been over here for a little more than 2 years. It seems pretty typical.
Yeah, it seems kind of quiet sometimes.
Well, yeah, actually, that's an interesting point. And it's one of the things I've been kind of looking at is like, well, so what is going on out there? You know, aside from the U.S. elections and, you know, the mini dramas with like North Korea and Iraq and stuff like that, it's actually pretty quiet on the conspiracy front.
It is. It is. And what tends to happen, and I think we saw some of that this week, like you were referring to, is that when there's nothing going on out there, we almost turn on ourselves.
Yes, there's a conspiracy somewhere, and if it's not out there, then it must be here.
Right, right. Then we'll, you know, feast on ourselves like a pack of wolves or something.
And it is actually kind of fun.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. Blogging world too, it kind of goes that way. A lot of blogs going back and forth, and yeah, it's pretty.
Well, yeah, and so you know, if there's nothing out there to talk about, they'll start talking about each other. It's like, well, this blog said this. Well, yeah, well, my blog says that. You know, so
yeah, exactly. They go back and forth with it, and then we had the should we even talk? We had the kindness thread.
Yes.
I don't even know if I want to talk about it, but
let us never speak of it again. It's like, and again, I think that's actually a really good example, I think, of what we're talking about in terms of the phenomenon here of, you know, looking inward for drama if it's not out there on the internet somewhere.
That's true. That's true, because the assumption was, and I think a lot of people took umbrage, if that'll be my word of the night, at the thought that people weren't being kind, you know?
Well, and of course, the irony totally abounds in that thread.
That is true. That is true. After a while, I think I made a post on somewhere, and I don't know where it went, but I was starting to feel like back when I was in school or something, and you know, and you keep hearing the same thing over and over, and you don't quite know what the answer is you're supposed to say, you know?
Yeah, sometimes, like with these drama threads, I look at it and I go, oh my God, I'm in junior high school again. No!
Right, right. Because I look at that with that kindness thread. There was how many pages it went to. And still, I mean, you could look at the very last page and it was like, nope, none of you are getting it, you know? And I was like, wow, I can't believe we all just don't get it. And I don't know. Maybe we weren't given the right answer. Didn't know what the person was looking for. I don't know.
Well, you know, that's the irony is, yeah, you'll see these kinds of things come up. And one of the things that fascinates me, and as a moderator, I find this, I've really learned this principle. You just never know what to expect. You know, you might be reading a thread and you're kind of feeling the momentum and you're thinking, okay, this logical next step will come up, and someone will post something that just goes completely off into left field. Yeah, and you can't do anything about
true,
it. It's the nature of discussion.
And the person that usually does that is me.
Or me.
Oh, man, I could certainly take a thread right off into left field, and it was funny to me anyway, but...
Oh yeah, well there's never you know, it's never too late for magic to come in and you know, throw one of his dissertations out there.
Right, right. And of course the one person that doesn't get it is the person that's just going to nail you in the thread, you know. that they didn't get it and they're just going to nail you to the wall, and you're an example of all that is bad in moderation.
Oh, and of course, my subtle sense of humor sometimes gets taken the wrong way. This is true.
Oh, don't I know? That happens to me far too often. Far too often. And then, you know, something else I saw today that I did want to bring up was something about complaints, that people were talking about complaints that they filed, they didn't hear back, or, you know... Just what happens in that whole process. And I thought we could talk about it, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. A lot of members might think that their complaints are being ignored because they'll submit the complaint and they don't hear back. And I think that there's an effort in some cases, you know, to reply and try and get back. But in a lot of cases, there's just enough of them come in, you know, compared to the size of the staff, where we look at them, we'll go and take action if we see the need, but we might not necessarily send a U2 back to the person who's filed a complaint. But, you know, if they look in the thread and they see that we've actually come in there and done something, we figure that usually gets the point across.
Right, right. I guess there's a few people out there that really want or expect to get some type of feedback, you know, of what the action was. And my policy, and I think it's across the board, most of the staff's policy is if we have to take disciplinary action against a certain member, that's between us and them, and we don't have to drag it out and tell people, okay, here's the steps we took with that person. I just don't even go into it, you know.
Well, and that's of course a longstanding and cherished ATS policy, which I didn't originally agree with, but certainly do now. And we saw that actually come up in this whole court thing, right?
Right, right.
Well, we need a court, which ironically enough is something I suggested like almost 2 years ago in my infamous drama thread, you know.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I look at it almost like a workplace environment, and being in management, and I know Skeptic Overlord's in management, or you know, has certain managerial skills. And one thing you don't do, it's like when you fire somebody, you don't tell everybody, you know, in the office why you fired somebody. I mean, you just don't do it. And it's yeah. a similar thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Walk out to the cube, grab the guy by the collar, hold him up in front of everybody and say, this guy's a loser.
You know, right. Exactly.
Not good management. You know?
Exactly. You're going to, you know, so it's just a similar thing that, you know, you just don't want to say, okay, I banned this person for whatever and, you know.
But, well, yeah, and of course there's a whole drama thing and all that. But I think that probably the best argument in favor of keeping that kind of stuff relatively quiet is respecting the privacy of members.
Right.
You know, I mean, do you want your dirty laundry being aired publicly? And I think most members don't. I mean, this is a conspiracy community. We don't ask for a lot of personal information. If you have an email address, you can become an ATS member. Yeah, you know? And that's ideally all we ever need to know about you other than your opinions.
Absolutely, you know? Absolutely. And some of the complaint types we get the loon. You know that, right?
Well, that's another reason you might not get an answer to your complaint.
Right.
If it's your
right.
third, you know, if it's your 30th or 40th complaint this week.
Right, right. Well, no. I think that one actually classifies under, like, the tattletale.
Yeah, or the complaint spammer.
Right, you know? Right. Because
I submitted a complaint 5 minutes ago, and I haven't heard back. What's the problem?
Right, exactly. And you know, we get the tattletale, which is the he said, she said, they called me, you know, something. And it's usually like some type of very subtle insult that maybe we can't even really warn over. But they complain about it constantly. And you know, sometimes you just – it's like cry wolf. After a while, you can't – you just don't jump at those anymore, you know.
Well, and, you know, there's the whole moderating by proxy issue, you know, where you get someone who submits a complaint. It's like, aha, I'm going to get this guy, you know, get the mods on him because he disagrees with me or whatever. And yeah, we're kind of on to that.
Right, right. Now, the loon, going back to the loon person, the loon is like the one that calls us like the Nazi freaks and tells us to stop the cosmic rays from their brain. And they have the weird complaints. Like, you just can't even – you don't even know what to say, you know. And then
sometimes that's, you know, enough said. You just kind of let it go. And
absolutely. And then you get the immediate action ones where, you know, somebody's done something and it's a good complaint. Immediate action ones are good complaints where we've got to jump in and what we've done is pretty visible. There's a warn. There's, you know, timeout on somebody or something, you know.
Yeah, somebody posts porn, for example, and we see a complaint on it. We're on it.
Right, you know,
and
right.
And that thread's gone.
Right. You know? So and we tend not to respond to those, you know. I mean, because we're on it and people usually can see some evidence of what we've
done.
Yeah,
thread's gone.
Yeah, right.
No but, complaint, right?
Right. That would definitely do it. And then the one where we do respond, I think the most is usually a question, you know, like my password doesn't work or, you know, something like that. We get back to those people. We try to.
Well, yeah, I've seen a very good response rate on that. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where, you know, the member needs help. And what are you going to do? Well, you contact them, you know?
Right, so. Exactly. And then there's the last kind is like the suggestion complaint, you know, where they, I mean, it's usually above us even. It's usually almost like a Skeptic Overlord thing. And it's, you know, hey, how about this cool feature or something like that? And I don't know what to ever say to those people. It's like, okay, you're number, you know, 7,000 on the list of to-dos, you know?
Right. And of course, in the complaint forum, you, and, you know, when I've seen some excellent absolutely excellent suggestions come in. And so I'll put a little thing on there. It's like, this is cool. This is great. But, you know, the problem is, there's like you said, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of great ideas. They're not going to be implemented right away because, you know, the skeptic overlord is the master of those things. And he's got a lot of different things to keep an eye on. And you don't want to change too many things at once in a live operating environment like ATS.
Right.
Otherwise,
right.
The whole thing could just go crashing down.
Exactly.
So, but just because you don't get feedback on an idea like that doesn't mean we think it's a bad idea. Sometimes I'm not in a position to say, oh, yes, we'll do that. No, it's not my call. But I am in a position where I can at least say, hey, I thought that was a good idea. And sometimes I'll send a message back and say, hey, that was a good suggestion.
Yeah, yeah. And we do see a lot of good ones like that, a lot of good ones. So,
well, that's kind of the thing, you know. It's like looking at it from behind the scenes here, you know, there tends to be a lot of public focus on the negative things that moderators have to do. And you know, that is what we have to focus on in many regards. But overall, I mean, even looking at it from the standpoint of someone who has to deal with all these kinds of problems and stuff, you know, my overall impression of the community itself is extremely positive.
Oh,
yeah. There's just so much, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Even in the course of going through and, like, having to, you know, put threads back on track or whatever, you just see so many good posts. It's like, hey, these people get it, you know? It's cool.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's some really great stuff out there. I see it all the time. And I got to admit, I mean, I probably don't ever say it too much on the boards, but you could probably read it that, you know, my mind on a few topics has changed over the 4 years I've been there, you know, absolutely. On certain topics, certain issues, you know, where I've definitely been convinced, and just because of some really great posts, some really different ways of looking at things, it's amazing.
If I were to say, you know, there was one thing that I consider to be most beneficial about ATS, what you just described is that I'm a different person than I was when I first came to ATS. This community has changed me dramatically, and I think in a very positive way as a human being.
Right, right. Yeah,
I'm the exact same actually. Way. You know, getting back to this, you know, we were talking about, well, what's going on in the ATS community? I mean, you know, on the one hand, we're observing, okay, you know, out there in, you know, in conspiracy space, things seem to be kind of quiet compared to what we might be, you know, expect, like compared to, like, say, 9/11 or something like that.
Right.
But, you know, and so we see some of this turning inwards and in introspection. But, you know, another trend that I've been observing, even just since I've become a moderator, is I think that there's actually a cultural shift taking place very slowly, but throughout the ATS community, I'm seeing actually, I think the community is becoming a more positive and inviting community. Maybe that's just my perception, but I'm really seeing that overall. Does that? Oops.
No. that totally fits. It is. And above top secret, what I find is, it's what you want to make of it. It's a place that has absolutely everything. I have never been to a forum that has so many things that can occupy your time, your interests, not just with the threads. I mean, there's blogging, there's podcasting, there's artwork stuff going on. You know, you name it, it's an entire social community that sure is conspiracy focused on with the, you know, abovetopsecret.com domain, but there's so much more to it. It's fantastic for social interaction.
Well, yeah, even for 24/7 members, there's more to do than you can do 24/7, which I think is one of the things I like about ATS.
Absolutely.
There's so much to do.
Absolutely.
Because it can also be frustrating.
Yes, it can. It can. And then if you have to add in things like you're a blog czar as well as I am, I believe, and I don't know about you, but I spend at least a half hour a day, it seems like, deleting blog spam for everybody, for all the bloggers. Oh,
gosh, it's nuts. Well, man, that's the thing. My poor blog is just, you know, when was the last time I updated that?
Shame on you.
Yeah, shame on me. A blogger. I don't even keep my blog updated. But you know, but that's an example. You know, you can. There's so many things to do. And look at podcasting. I haven't done a lot of podcasting. This is like my first podcast been in a long time.
Right, but you've got the record.
Well, yeah.
We determined that. We determined that tonight. And what's the count?
That's right. We both checked, and I have done 229 podcasts on AboveTopSecret.com.
And that is awesome. And you know what? I've got to look, and I don't have it up right in front of me, but I'm going to pull it up, too, is I'm probably doing the same in the blog world.
Because you're blogging. Your blog rocks, man. That is like the ultra blog.
I looked though at one point, and I was over 235 posts, and wow. I think the next closest one to mine was about 100. So,
well, and the quality. I mean, you know, okay, people might say I'm kissing up here, but hey, you know, the quality of your blog is, I think, is kind of like a. What would I call it? Kind of a standard to look up to. You know, you've done a lot with the formatting, and of course the material that you present is really quite cool.
So, oh, it's just whatever interests me at the time. You know, I took a lot of heat from our bloggers for that, and I actually spoke about it in my last podcast. And I know you we were talking earlier. You didn't hear that one.
Yeah, I've been like out of the loop.
But I took a lot of heat from a lot of bloggers because I was breaking the norm, and the norm was, of course, to have a conspiracy focused blog. And what I noticed, and I noticed this with our old blogging software, and then of course we got the newer blogging software, was that they would start out big, but then people would trickle off. You know, your readers would trickle off, and just interest would wane, and then the blogger, whoever it was, would stop writing. And I saw that with the new software we got with a few people, and so I just started to mix it up and do, you know, one day I was blogging about, you know, how stupid I thought Paris Hilton was or something, you know, and just, I mean, I just started to mix it up with YouTube videos and pictures and whatever. And I just had more success with that than if I would have stuck to some, you know, conspiracy only format. People, what I found was if people really want my conspiracy thoughts or somebody else's, they're going to find a thread on it. You know, they're not going to go to the blogs for that so much.
Yeah, I think the blog is more of a, you know, what does this person think kind of thing. It's a sort of a stream of consciousness. I think ideally it could be rigid, and I think you've pointed out there's a lot of these things get started with the best of intentions, and then, you know, they kind of slide off, which is the old tale on the internet. How many pages have you gone to on the web, you know, it says under construction, or I'll post this next thing next week, and that was like 4 years ago.
Right, right. Soon to be updated.
Yeah, exactly. So by being yourself, you're actually ensuring that there's more life. You're actually putting yourself into the work, and that makes it more attractive, I think, to other people, yeah. Not to mention yourself, and it's got to be. You know. And for me, that's the thing. My blog's been kind of you know, languishing, I guess you could say, but I never really started it out with the intention of, oh, I'm going to be a big blogger, because I actually went through a phase before I ever came to ATS of doing that. And what I found is I just love the forums. You know, I like the interaction. If you look at how many threads I've started versus how many threads I've commented on,
right?
There's a major difference. And that's one of the reasons why I am such an addict of ATS, because the quality of interaction in the forums is higher than pretty much almost anywhere else I go. And you know, I know people probably think, oh, we're just, you know, pumping it up and, you know, just yay, hype and stuff. But seriously, if I didn't think ATS was the best online community on the internet, I wouldn't be here. I would be in the community that I thought was the best one.
You know? Right.
Why would I be here if I thought there was a better place, you know? So it's about as honest as it gets, you know? If I thought there was a better place to be, I'd be there.
I'm the same way. I'm the exact same way. But since we're talking about blogs, hold on a sec, because I got to kick off this.
Blog of the Week.
This week, I wanted to recognize Umbrax for his blog, The Brax Cave. And his blog is incredible for the entertainment realm with movies, comics, television. He's like a blogging superhero, you know, in his own right. I don't know, Magic, have you checked it out at all?
Oh, I've been really bad about that.
Well, okay, that's all right.
I'm supposed to be a blog, so I like don't even tend to keep up with most of the blogs. So.
Yeah,
I have checked yours out, though, because there's so many links to it.
Umbrax, he's a moderator over a lot of the forums that cover those type of things, movies, comics, television, and he is just in the know. You know, he's always got some great perspective to what's going on in those areas, or there's other times he'll just scoop everybody with you know, the latest news on some movie. I think what I read the other day, it was like the Wolverine movie. You know, he knew about what was coming out with the Wolverine prequel movie to the X-Men movies that were released, and so he gets some great stuff. So I wanted to recognize Umbrax this week, and don't forget to stop by my blog, Wizard Words, when you're done, and just say hello after you go visit Umbrax. So speaking of superheroes with the blogging superhero, let's listen to a little American Heartbreak with Last of the Superheroes.
We've seen them on TV our whole life. Super Friends were the Rolling Stones, were larger than life. I can be like anyone I see on a record album sleeve. Pistols and the Who, Dolls and Ramones, Don Kirshner on TV.
Guys are awesome. That's American Heartbreak from Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com.
Rocking.
I was like sharing some good tunes with some people, so I can't help myself.
Hey, it's not a sin, man.
That's all right. So, political revolution. Are we going to get into it?
Oh, yeah. Hey, there's a revolution underway, man. Revolution's calling.
And it's your revolution, right? Because
yeah. Well, the whole PTS thing, and of course, I took that over back in the beginning of July. In fact, 7/7 on the anniversary of the London Tube bombings. So.
Oh wow!
Quite an auspicious day.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and of course, I'm still, there's still a lot to do, and of course, these things take time, and I've got all these wonderful ideas and stuff, but I do think of it as a revolution with PTS, because I'm looking at changing the whole attitude towards the political wing of ATS, from less of a dumping ground to something that can be a lot more, an actual conspiracy theorist's way of approaching politics. And it takes a while to shift the thinking on that. And, of course, there's features and all these other things I want to do. But, already, the big thing, of course, that we have, essentially forum owners and these forum subject matter experts. And by bringing just that one change, I think has really had a very amazing and positive effect on PTS. And this is just, we're just getting started.
Right, yeah. It's, I'm amazed at some of the stuff I see over on PTS all the time. I think my whole political outlook has changed as a result of PTS. I think over time,
we still got a long way to go in many respects, but that's the thing. On PTS, I think there's been a perception that it's just for politics and only for people who believe the government line or, they're partisans. And that's really not what PTS is about. It's a way of looking at politics and discussing politics with other conspiracy theorists, other ATSers, people that are into looking at things in an alternate way. So, you can get over there and be all partisan, yay, go Republicans, go Democrats, go Labor, go Conservative. But the thing that I think that is the real revolution with PTS and my big vision for the future with it is that it's politics for people who hate politics.
Right.
this is not like, I don't want it to be like other political forums. It's our way of looking at politics, which means look for the conspiracies, look for the story behind the story. Don't just believe whatever the government tells you. And we're still just kind of getting that, getting the feel of things together and still getting our legs, in terms of how we want to develop the PTS culture. But I am very, very excited about the potential that we have.
Are the Republicans and the Democrats, are they ever going to bridge the gap, and find a middle ground, do you think?
I don't think that there's a motive for them to want to do that. I mean, ultimately, the two-party system is a cooperative system. And then, it's called an adversarial system, but there's an interest on the part of both parties to maintain their incumbency and to maintain a two-party system. Mm-hmm. So when a third-party challenger comes along, both of them tend to gang up against the third-party challenger. And in the U.S. in particular, this has been going on for a very long time. It's institutionalized
that's
now.
That's true. I look at it as education because, for me, of course, I grew up in a different country. I grew up in Canada and then moved to the States. So I actually had to learn a lot about American government later in life. I knew a fair amount. I mean, we had very good schooling up there, but I learned a lot later. And so I find myself constantly learning the intricacies of the political system. And it's pretty interesting.
Well, just how corrupt it is, I think, is probably the thing you got to learn first, right?
Right, exactly. And, of course, from a conspiracist point of view, do you absolutely believe that there is a secret controlling group out there, Magic, known as the government?
Well, I'm not sure the government is even in control of itself. There's all this talk about power elites, which do exist, but there's a lot of them, and they tend to have conflicting interests. And that dates back to before this country was founded.
That's true.
So there's really no conspiracy with that. And actually, when you look at it, I mean, in America, for example, when we're taught about politics in the schools, we tend to get the cleaned up version. George Washington never told a lie, Abraham mm-hmm. Lincoln, and all that kind of stuff. And then you start, learning about how things actually were, and it's like, there's been corruption since the beginning. Right. The founding fathers had financial interests and political interests, and it wasn't wasn't all just about, oh, we love freedom. No, it's also about we love money and power.
Yeah. Right, right. And I think we get the pop culture view, because whatever, you know, I mean, with Clinton's legacy, with, you know, Monica and the blue dress, and whatever is pop culture and gets the most attention, you know, seems to be the focus, and it's always been that way. You look back, you know, they teach kids in schools about, you know, Paul Revere riding up and down, warning all the colonies, the, you know, the British are coming, and Paul Revere only rode 19 miles. He didn't warn anybody, you know. The real hero was a guy named Israel Bissell. He actually rode like 4 days and warned everybody. But the book was written about Paul Revere, and now they actually teach that in school, you know. And that was pop culture at the time. And we're going to have something similar, you know, down the road from our history. You know?
Oh, absolutely. It's an ongoing process. And, for example, you mentioned Clinton. You know, there's a lot of aspects of Clinton's presidency that just aren't discussed. Because, like you mentioned, it's the whole Monica Lewinsky thing and the, oh, I swear I didn't know she was a woman and all that kind of
right,
stuff.
Right, right.
And, you know, and in reality, there are a lot of things that happened during President Clinton's presidency that are extremely important from the standpoint of history. And I'm not referring to the quote-unquote Clinton legacy. I'm referring to actual changes in American society, the rise of the Internet, economic issues, legal issues. A lot of things changed,
right,
you know, during President Clinton's terms in office. But they tend to get glossed over by his own personality, and you know, which is a larger-than-life personality. And actually, we see a lot of the same thing going on with the Bush presidency, you know, but it's got a different tone, right? You know,
right.
Instead of the love affair, you know, there is a conservative. Well, actually, there isn't even a conservative love affair with Bush. Everybody hates him, right? The conservatives are mad because he's a liberal, you know, or he's too much of a moderate, you know. And of course, on the liberal side of the fence, it's just rabid. And by the way, for you liberals out there, it's not flattering to yourselves to, you know, to go with all the chip stuff and all that. And by the way, you know, during the Clinton presidency, there was a lot of the same kind of thing directed at Clinton. And, you know, for those who were involved in all that kind of mudslinging, it didn't make Clinton look worse. It made them look worse. You know, and we're seeing this, you know, now repeated with the, you know, with the tables turn. And it's fascinating for me because I first got into conspiracy theories back in the Clinton administration. So there's all this stuff about the Clinton body count and Arkansas, Vince Foster, you know, Ron Brown. All that stuff was what we're talking about. Now I get a chance to see it with a different administration, and it just fascinates me just how similar it all is.
Wow. Is that what got you into conspiracies? Was politics or from a political angle, was that your first dip into conspiracies?
Well, you know, I really started to take an interest in conspiracies back in the 80s when the whole Iran-Contra thing came out, because it fascinated me that there was this press focus on arms for hostages, but they weren't talking about all the cocaine that was being smuggled to fund the operation.
Right.
And it's something that you could find out, and there was a lot of discussion, you know, casually about it, but it was something that just didn't get a lot of press. And I thought that was fascinating, that the government was smuggling drugs. Yeah.
Right, right.
And then I started looking at this whole thing with the militia movement, which became very popular back in the 80s, and I thought that there was something rather suspicious about all that. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, for the benefit of hindsight, it turns out that much of what we call the militia movement was actually initiated by the U.S. government as a way of trying to, as basically like a flypaper operation, to try and get all these subversives together in one place so that they could, you know, spy on them and round them up.
Right. When I was a kid, I think I got into conspiracies because of my parents, and I mean because they were perpetrating conspiracies on me is what happened. And it wasn't like Santa Claus. For me, it was like I got a little bit older and started learning more about history. And I remember at some point I learned about, you know, the Vietnam War. And of course, there's a great podcast, you know, Dave Rabbit, with all his stuff that he talks about from that era and the Vietnam War. And I grew up in Canada. I didn't even know what happened. Honestly, I didn't even know.
I just knew that a lot of Americans were moving into the.
You know what? I didn't even know that. My parents didn't ever even talk about it. I didn't know anything about the war. None of my friends, you know. It's weird. It was almost like being the boy in the bubble, you know, and you come out all of a sudden, it's like, wow, there's a whole world out here that I missed, you know. And so then I think I started to wonder, what else have I been missing, or you know, what's being kept from me? That probably started my whole conspiracy
thinking.
Well,
I think that's... that's a very common kind of experience. The you know, when you discover something that's been hidden from you, and it's like, whoa, my eyes have been open. And I think that's a very common experience for conspiracy theory fans, because once you have that happen once, it can get kind of addictive.
Absolutely, absolutely. Although you start to look for things that maybe aren't there too, but
well, that's part of the fun too.
I think I did have a period where I went too far the other way, but I try to moderate that now. All things in moderation, right?
I know what you mean. Especially if you discover something that's disturbing, like, oh my God, the press is not reporting acts of terrorism in the United States. You know, and I don't know if that's happening or not, but you know, like this whole thing with the Oklahoma suicide bomber, and I went nuts over that. And since then, I've come to realize conspiracy theory makes a wonderful hobby and a terrible religion. So sometimes you got to know when to kind of back off a little, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what are your hot topics on the board? You got any hot topics?
Well, you know, I've been kind of looking around. There's this whole thing, of course, with the North Korean nuclear tests, which fascinates me because there are all kinds of questions surrounding the nature of the tests, whether they were actually nuclear or not. And, you know, from a conspiracy theory standpoint, I'm looking at this and going, well, you know, we say that we've detected radiation, but maybe that's just a convenient thing to say, and maybe they didn't, in fact, detonate nuclear devices, but it's to our benefit to help them, you know what I mean?
Right,
And we don't even have to lie about it. And by the way, that's one of the things I've noticed about the government in general, when they don't necessarily lie about things. I mean, they can. There's, you know, issues like Gulf of Tonkin, and there was all that kind of stuff with the credibility gap back in the 60s. But a lot of times they just tell the part of the truth they want you to hear, and they let you take it from there, you know. So in the case of the nuclear tests, you know, there's a cell, yeah, we've detected radiation, but we need to run some more tests. But pretty much at this point, we're just going with, yeah, they're nuclear now.
Right, right.
But it could be that they aren't.
Yeah. And now, I don't know this, but I did hear they detected the radiation, and what I heard was, they detected it in the air, and so they believe that, you know, it was a nuclear detonation. But how do they do that? Do you know how?
I mean,
do they fly a plane over?
Yeah, actually, there is, I think there's only like two of them out there, but there actually are a couple of planes. I think they're converted. I forget the type of plane. There's actually some threads on these on ATS, I'm pretty sure. Mm. But there are some dedicated planes that were developed actually during the Cold War, specifically to test for nuclear tests.
Oh, wow.
And they fly them around, and they have all this detection gear where they suck in air samples and check for counts. And they actually analyze them to see what kind of radiological components there are in the samples. And there are particular signatures that you can expect to see in terms of these radiological components that are released into the air even after underground tests, which is what apparently they've been flying one of these planes over there. I forget the name of the area they'd be flying it in, but apparently that's what has been taking the samples is one of those planes.
I'm surprised the North Koreans didn't shoot them down.
Well, I think they've been flying them downwind.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you got some long-reaching stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah. But, shooting down American planes comes with some other issues, you know.
That's just weird. I know I heard it, and I really didn't read up on it, so I was going, wow, did we fly through their airspace? How do we, you know, wow, how did we detect that? So I know they have satellite capability of nuclear or radiation detection, basically, and they can detect certain isotopes and whatever from space level, actually,
which is some pretty wild black magic when you think about what they're actually doing.
Yeah. Well, back in,
that's a long way to detect something like that from.
Absolutely. But when I was a kid, I mean, one of my relatives actually worked on the keyhole satellite setup, and he used to talk about the 4-inch bolt, and that was back in the 70s, and that was mm-hmm. where they could see a 4-inch bolt from space and focus in on that bolt. And now I think I've heard it said that the optics now can like read the date on a quarter or something. I mean, they're, you know, that much better. But and so they've just added in some type of ability to almost like a where you can detect heat traces, and they can do the same thing with radioactive isotopes. So It's pretty freaky.
Well, yeah, they do have multiple means. I mean, the plane that I was talking about is one of them, but I'm sure it's not the only thing that they're doing. But the interesting thing is, you know, this whole notion about the government just telling us what they want us to know, you know, they'll talk about, well, we got air samples that were radioactive, you know, but they might not tell us about the other information they got that points away from a nuclear device.
Right.
And there was a... And, you know, I don't know. Maybe they do actually have a nuke or whatever, but, you know... As a conspiracy theorist, I'm always looking at, well, hold on. If it's in the public eye, it's because they want it to be in the public eye.
Yeah. I think a lot of people thought it was a bluff right up front. They thought it was a bluff. They thought it was a fake. And now maybe people are a little more on the fence or starting to believe that they really are nuclear power.
Well, and of course, the perception evolves. And even if the U.S. government doesn't say anything more about this, I suspect that what will happen is it will become accepted as conventional wisdom that North Korea did, in fact, test nuclear devices.
Yeah.
You know, and that's actually an interesting phenomenon to observe in itself. How, what we think of as reality, you know, what most people would agree on is what's happening, how that evolves, even in the absence of information to prove it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I didn't have any hot topics for tonight. My hot topic is like 9/11, you know, because that is hot. Every thread on 9/11 just goes to like 5 pages in a day. Have you noticed that? I mean, it's everyone.
And it's usually the same old script, and I've complained about this myself in podcasts. And by the way, not to disparage people that have strong opinions on 9/11. There's nothing wrong with that. But in terms of looking at the way the discussions in the 9/11 forum go, I'm just wondering if there's a way we can get out of the same old story. You know?
Right. And the way to get out of it is not that it was a hologram, right?
Well, see, I don't think there's anything wrong with people believing it's a hologram. That's fine. But what bothers me, and I'll say it bothers me, is
Skeptic Overlord is going to thump you for that one.
Well, you know, my attitude, and of course as a member and as a moderator, is like, I respect people's right to have whatever opinions they want, even if I think they're wrong. That's okay. You know, hey, that's intellectual freedom in a nutshell. But this pattern that we see over and over in the 9/11 forums, it doesn't matter what the topic is. By page 5, it's always back to the same old arguments.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I have to imagine that there's a way to get past that so that we can maybe make some progress in nailing some things down. And there have been a lot of efforts, both on the part of members and the staff, to try and do this. But it's hard because there's just so many different aspects to 9/11, you know, from technical analysis. And I think there's a lot of overlooking of the conspiracy behind it. I mean, who actually did it?
Right.
I'm sure you can talk about the towers collapsing in free fall or, it wasn't the 757 that hit the Pentagon and all that kind of stuff. Well, who were the people behind it? You know, I understand the desire to prove that there's something, wrong with the official story because that would point at the government. But the thing is, holes in the official government story don't necessarily mean that the government was actually behind it.
Right,
you know?
Right. I think there was a lot of things being covered up from 9/11, but I think there was multiple reasons for that. I think some things were covered up just out of respect for the families and the people that were lost. And I think some things were covered up because they didn't want their ineptitude to show, that
right.
Maybe they knew that there was a plot to take down some buildings, or that they knew that there was operatives, in the United States that might do something, or even just ineptitude of that day and of the actions that were taken and what they did. And I think we saw it all again with Katrina, personally.
Oh, yeah. No, the CYA principle is well understood in the government.
Yeah. I think so many people credit the government too highly. We actually talked about this a little earlier tonight, you and I. I think the people sometimes give them way more credit than is really due for them. And then Katrina happens, and people are like, where are they? Where were all the trucks? Why weren't they there? You know, and they start thinking, well, they must have just left those people on purpose. And, they're really
right.
More inept. It was just nobody was making a decision. Nobody knew what to do, and an event like that really highlights it. And 9/11 is the same kind of thing. It really highlights that, all of a sudden it was planes are being used as weapons. what do we do? Do we scramble fighters? Do we shoot them? I mean, people just didn't know, you know?
Right. Well, and there's the whole issue of the drill, you know, and this whole thing with drills going on at the times of these terrorist attacks, just like in London, and you know, all this wonderful conspiracy stuff. But, you know, what about questions like, when did Osama bin Laden leave the CIA payroll? Did he ever leave the CIA payroll?
Right, right, right.
I have my questions. Hard questions to answer, though.
Yeah, so. Absolutely, absolutely. But it does seem like a rehash of a rehash after a while, those threads.
Well, right. Well, and part of the phenomenon, I think, is because, first of all, you can get pictures of the towers collapsing. You can get pictures of the Pentagon. You can't get pictures of Osama bin Laden collecting CIA payoffs. You know, right. You can't get that. Right. And then, of course, new people come in who have just discovered this whole notion of 9/11 conspiracies all the time. And for them, all of this is new, and they find themselves faced with the same questions. So in many ways, I think one of the reasons why the 9/11 discussions tend to be so circular is just simply because of the fact that the information we have is limited, and the nature of it is limited. And, you know, so we tend to analyze the heck out of it, and then new people come along, they have the same questions, we find ourselves answering the same old questions. And meanwhile, there's a whole set of other questions surrounding 9/11 that never get asked, even, because there's just nothing out there to suggest the questions.
Right, right. And I think what's amazing, I see the stats on the news all the time. We've been discussing 9/11 on AboveTopSecret.com for years, and now it's becoming mainstream that it's an alarming statistic that they keep putting on the news that, you know, the majority of the population now think the government is suppressing something or was behind it or, you know, and it seems like the newscasters even are alarmed at this. Wow, you know, it's a large percentage of the United States now believes that, you know, something wicked this way comes, so to speak. And we've been discussing it for a long time. I think that's kind of cool.
Well, and, you know, the irony is, especially when you get it from, you know, professional newscasters, how could so many people be so stupid, right?
Right.
As to not believe what we've been telling them since 9/11 happened.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I think when they look at that as an alarming statistic, it's because they're realizing, in a way, that the internet as an alternative media form, you know, other than broadcast media, you know, the traditional television, radio, all that kind of stuff, the internet is eclipsing traditional forms of broadcast media as a way for people to get information. That's alarming to them.
Right. Yes. Yes. I know. People don't go to the talking heads on the box anymore.
I don't even have a TV. I use the internet for all my news, and I don't miss the TV at all.
I watch the news rarely, very rarely. I'll watch some CNN or, you know, whatever once in a while. I'll just turn it on if I'm working around the house. Most of my news, and it's probably been a couple of years now, it seems like, has been Above Top Secret. I get the scoops. I am always at work and going, oh my gosh, like the other day, a plane crashed into a building in New York. I knew about it before anybody, and it was because of Above Top Secret. You know, obviously it was posted somewhere on the web, and then it made it to Above Top Secret immediately, and I knew about it before anybody. It was amazing.
Well, and that's actually an interesting aspect of the way ATS works, because we have so many members in so many places. Oftentimes, you know, an item will get posted either to ATS and AN or to the regular boards from a local source that hasn't gotten national attention yet. But it gets onto ATS and it gets into the queue, and we start seeing that headline. It's like, whoa, what was this? You know, and it's kind of interesting in as much as the dynamic and ad hoc nature of the internet actually lends itself in many respects to a more efficient way of communicating a lot of this stuff, which again alarms major broadcast media types.
Oh yeah, it absolutely does, Well, you know, I think we've had a great night. I think we're going to put this one in the can because people are going to die listening to this. It's going to be
so long. Yeah, we put them
to sleep. We put them to sleep by now. We've been through too many drinks here, so it's time for everybody to open that bunker door, head for home. Stay safe, be careful, and we'll all meet again real soon and investigate some more weird stuff.
Right on.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Zed Show, hosted by AboveTopSecret.com.
When it comes to podcasting, set your iTunes to feeds from AboveTopSecret.com. and accept no substitutes.